Thank you very much, Chair. It is a pleasure to welcome the high-level delegation of Canada, and we are all looking forward to a very fruitful dialogue. I wish to thank our dear committee member, Ms. Corinne Detmeyer, who could have not joined us today, but who contributed most significantly to our preparation toward this dialogue. I also wish to thank the many NGOs and other entities that assisted in bringing to light achievements as well as challenges in the journey toward women's equality in Canada. The committee acknowledges Canada's many efforts to address gender inequality and to overcome the challenge of disparities in the different provinces and territories. The introduction to WAGE, the GBA Plus tool, and the Federal Strategy for Gender Equality are examples of commemorable initiatives. According to the World Economy Forum 2023 Global Gender Gap Report, Canada ranked 30th out of 146 countries reviewed, with 76.5% of the gender gap closed. Canada is improving in political empowerment, ranking 6th, and educational attainment, ranking 7th. However, ranking in relation to wage equality and to health and survival is less flattering to your big and wealthy country, leaded for almost 10 years now by a prime minister who inspired us all when he declared himself a feminist. The State Party report was very impressive in the many, almost overwhelming number of legal reforms, initiatives, and programs aimed at promoting women's equality. The report also made very clear that generous funds are invested by the government to that end. However, the report as a whole left me somewhat puzzled in relation to transparency, accountability, action, and especially impact. Hence my general questions in relation to Article 1 and 2 that will be followed by much more concrete ones by the task force members. First, on impact. How does the State Party ensure that the substantial funds allocated to promote gender equality and the various programs developed and regulatory changes introduced to that end are effective? Can the State Party share with the committee its impact research methodologies and follow-up impact studies strategy? Can it share examples of already documented lessons on best and failed practices beyond the impressive outcomes of the childcare $10 per day reform? In particular, were there any lessons learned from the COVID-19 crisis and the steps taken by the State Party in relation to promoting women's right to equality in time of crisis and in more mundane times? Second, on transparency, does the State Party have plans to improve data collection in all its departments, provinces, and territories regarding women's right to equality, including disaggregated data that enables the analysis of the intersection of gender with ethno-racial, faith, disability, age, immigration status, economic background, etc.? And thirdly, on accountability, the committee welcomes the Senior Officials Committee introduction of a protocol for international human rights reporting in 2020, and the State Party's acceptance of the Universal Periodic Review Recommendation in 2024 to establish follow-up mechanisms for UN recommendations. However, concerns about accountability persist, with its current framework lacking engagement with civil society and indigenous organizations, especially regarding women's rights. Can the State Party provide information on the progress made in implementing the UPR recommendations to establish a robust and transparent human rights accountability framework? And how will this framework involve all levels of government, provide adequate resources, and include regular monitoring and civil society engagement? Finally, throughout the state report, there was nothing on men as relevant targeted audience for legislation, policies, campaign, etc., both as potential allies in the struggle for equality for women, as well as potential victimizers. This is unfortunately, by and large, true also in relation to the many shadow reports that were submitted on behalf of Canadian NGOs, which in my opinion is proof that the masculinity's lens is not part of the discussion in the State Party and of within its effort to achieve equality for women. So what does the State Party do or plans to do to change masculinized stereotypes, roles, and perceptions to make other men join the Prime Minister's statement, and more importantly, to take upon themselves the value and labor of care, both in the private sphere and the labor force? Thank you very much.